We've talked about this just with him in passing. I think it came up. We definitely talked about it when we were talking about the year in TV a couple weeks ago with him. And in looking at our ebook, our three-page discussion that we did with him there, it came up a little bit also, too. At that point, we were forecasting, like, how long is this going to go into the next decade, this whole Leno situation and everything. And little did we know it was going to be resolved one way or another, the messy way it looks like, in the first couple weeks of the decade. So here to talk with us tonight to lend his thoughts to the hottest water cooler conversation in America, the whole Leno-Conan tug-of-war at NBC, our good friend Simon Applebaum from Tomorrow Will Be Televised. Simon, good to have you back on the FDH Lounge. How are you tonight, my man?
It's great to be back with you, Rick. Happy New Year and decade, a few weeks late, but still a good one. Along with Conan and Leno, a lot of news has already broken loose in the TV scene so far this year. Who knew?
Yeah, you know what? Well, I'll tell you what. I'll put you over, and I'll say you knew. We were talking about this with you here. And, again, interesting that we touched on it. In the course of the transcript that we have for our ebook, and we have that linked off of the rundown here tonight, Dissecting the Decades, the FDH Lounge looks back and ahead at the first 20 years of the new millennium. We talked about that with you in there a little bit. And then a little bit more detail a couple weeks ago on the show, as we were just kind of looking at 2009 in TV, 2010 in TV, it was coming up, and you've been the one guy that I've heard talking about this the whole time here. You had your ear sort of to the underbrush here, all the chatter from the affiliates, and in the end, it was the revolt of the affiliates that drove this thing.
They screamed bloody murder, Rick, and what nobody thought was they were going to take the step of actually preempting Leno. My understanding is that a third of the NBC affiliates were actively saying to Jeff Zucker and Jeff Gaspin and all the people at NBC Universal in power, if you don't get Jay Leno off, we're preempting him, or we're going to move him to 11:30, or he's not going to be on our station whatsoever. You have to understand that these stations are hurting. They have been suffering for the last year and a half, almost 2 years, of a local ad sales slump, the likes of which has never happened in television. Some stations lost as much as 20 to 25% of their local ad revenue last year, on top of an 8% downturn the year before because of the recession. And a lot of the ad categories, like autos and entertainment and financial services, that are the backbone of local TV advertising, went down the tube. And on top of all that, you had the Jay Leno show giving local news ratings declines of 20 to 30% in some markets. NBC stations that were number one in the time period at the 11 o'clock or 10 o'clock local news were becoming number two and number three, and it was really coming to a head where the stations were screaming bloody murder so much that NBC had to listen and do something.
Yeah, they did, and ultimately, and it's funny because I was talking about this with my dad. My dad and I are sort of a microcosm of America's Civil War on the topic because me personally, I'm with Coco, and my dad is one of the loyal Leno viewers here, and doesn't sort of get Conan, and he'll tell you that, and that's fair enough. We agree to disagree on this stuff here, but he said to me today on this whole thing about the affiliates. We were talking about this. He said, what are they going to do, put on reruns or syndication? I said, yeah, Dad, that's what it would have come to. Why don't you sketch it out, Simon, for those out there that may be a little bit cloudy on this, what were some of the things they were going to do if push came to shove?
They were going to preempt NBC entirely at 10 o'clock for the full hour. They might have put their local newscast in, make it an hour-long newscast, or do a 10 o'clock half hour or 9 o'clock half hour Central Time, and then maybe put a syndicated rerun in, or maybe do a local news magazine kind of show. They would have bumped Leno to 11:30 and Conan to 12:30. There were all sorts of scenarios in play.
Yeah, I hadn't heard that one, but bumping Leno to 11:30, so that would have been, I guess, on an affiliate-by-affiliate level, a de facto version of what we've seen unfold and what the future will be anyways.
Right. And what is really amazing is that how NBC responded to this and what has happened since has taken on an incredibly grotesque turn. Who would have thought that in the last week and a half we have seen really like the version of a rugby scrum here. It's not just Leno and Conan O'Brien. Every late-night talk show host has weighed in on this, some very savagely at NBC, from George Lopez on Lopez Tonight to Craig Ferguson to David Letterman, and it's been some of the funniest, most savage late-night or any kind of time period television you have seen in the last year, in recent memory. It's been extraordinary and grotesque at the same time.
It has been. I'll tell you what. Again, I'm somebody where, you know, even the fact that I'm fond of Conan O'Brien, I don't always make it a point to either stay up or remember to be tuned in or whatever. Boy, I have been lately, and I've been checking out, you know, Leno when he's been on, maybe once in a while flipping over to Letterman. I've been trying to catch as much of this stuff here too. But here's what's interesting, and here's where you're a good guy to talk to about this, because you cover not just TV but the wider area of technology here. There's this theory that's been floating out there that, in a way, when you look at the ratings, perhaps Conan, and it's been borne out recently just what a youthful audience he does have, he may be a victim of technology here. If you got a lot of people that are out there watching his stuff on Hulu the next day or NBC.com or whatever, we're already in this media phase. We've been getting there the last couple of years of where, for some people, there is no such thing as appointment television. They'll catch it when they catch it. Those people will not be captured in the ratings. To what extent do you think this has kneecapped Conan, and to what extent is that going to be a concern as he moves over to Fox?
Well, first of all, it's not a done deal. He's going to go to Fox. I'll explain that in a second.
Okay.
But one thing everyone has to remember is that in the best of circumstances, Conan would have had at least a year or more to make The Tonight Show his own. You don't overnight take over an institution like The Tonight Show and make it your own. You have to have some things break for you. You have to grow into the role, make it your own, and hope that some things break your way. In the case of Conan, a lot of things did not break his way. Initially, I think he tried to just do the late-night Conan O'Brien format on The Tonight Show. It didn't totally fly. But on top of that, when you have Jay Leno doing what he did at 10 p.m., and then the local news ratings floundering and dropping like a stone, it makes the job much tougher. As he said, in the best of times, Conan would have had a year or more to prove himself, and he didn't get that chance.
Yeah.
And on top of that, we don't know where the Fox will take him. One thing I remember is the Fox stations also have to deal with local ad sales, and they have syndication contracts. It is not a done deal that they'll go to Fox. But here's a possibility, and it was raised at the TV Critics Tour over the weekend. John Landgraf, the president of FX, which is like Fox owned by News Corp, was very interested, and I already made a very interesting point of saying that he'd like to have Conan. And by the way, FX would be great for Conan. Perfect audience. FX, one of the hottest television networks around, known for edgy television from The Shield to Sons of Anarchy to Rescue Me to the new animated series Archer, who's, by the way, creator Adam Reed was on our show. It's going to be televised last week. And that would be a perfect match, I think, for Conan at 11 o'clock for that network. So don't discount the possibility of cable, whether it's FX or Comedy Central or someplace else, maybe taking it away from Fox.
Okay, and that's an interesting point. It is, you know, and again, who knows how much of this stuff is just a head fake right now, with TMZ reporting the other day about Fox going out there and gobbling up that domain that would seem to indicate that there's going to be a Conan show on Fox starting in the fall. Again, that could just be a head fake. There may or may not be anything to that. But as far as something like going to cable, regardless of, again, how high-flying FX is at the moment, for somebody who didn't want to do The Tonight Show at 12:05 and is sufficiently concerned with his own professional dignity to not want to do that, going to cable, is that something? I mean, we can talk all we want about the ascendancy of these things and the broadcast networks are flopping, you know, the way that they are, but perception's reality. And the perception, I mean, he's going to take quite a hit in terms of his own pride, I would think, if that happens.
Yes, he is. But in a way, he sort of comes out smelling like a rose, because when he wrote that letter on Tuesday, which I think surprised a heck of a lot out of people, he showed a lot of class. He basically said in that letter, you know, I really see The Tonight Show's institution. I was given the opportunity to make this role work. I didn't get that opportunity because of whatever, whatever. And rather than, I could very easily think, you know, I could easily move myself to 12:05, but I'm not going to do that. It's below my dignity. It's below my, it's below what this thing is. And he does have a point. If you move The Tonight Show to 12:05 or 12 minute, whatever, it's not The Tonight Show anymore. And it comes after what would have been a half hour of Leno. And who knows whether that 11:30 half hour would have worked.
Good point.
Given that Leno comes off a big bomb. So I think Conan made a very gutsy call. The way he did it was a lot of class.
Oh, Simon? And I think we just unfortunately lost Simon there midstream. Perhaps we'll get a chance to rejoin with him. But anyways, tell you what, we were on that note, tell you what, we were due to take our bottom of the hour break anyway. So let's do that. Let's take our bottom of the hour break. Let's see if it materializes on the other side. If so, we'll finish with him before we move into what we got for the next half hour. If not, we'll just move right into that. We'll see. Life is a continuing mystery here on the FDH Lounge. You never know which way it's going to go. So we'll leave that. Is it going to be door number one or door number two on the other side of the break? I will find out along with the rest of you. You're listening to the FDH Lounge only on SportsTalkCleveland.com.
SportsTalkCleveland.com, the online home for 24/7 Cleveland Cavaliers news.
I settled my lawsuit years ago, and instead of immediately getting all the money I was owed, I get an itty-bitty check every month. I've got bills to pay. Where's my money?
Has your lawsuit been settled? Receiving small payments? If so, you can receive a lump sum payment to get the money you need. Peachtree Settlement Funding can get you cash for bills, family emergencies, or major purchases. You can turn your long-term settlement payments into a lump sum cash payment.
There's my money.
The money from your structured settlement is yours, and Peachtree can help you get it.
Like I said, I need my money.
Find out how much your monthly settlement payments are worth as a lump sum by calling today. The call is free and there's no obligation. Just call 877-219-3097. That's 877-219-3097.
When getting my money was the problem, Peachtree was the solution. Turn that itty-bitty monthly payment into a lump sum.
Call Peachtree Settlement Funding today. 877-219-3097. That's 877-219-3097.
Listen up, all fans of the Wine and Gold. Your time is now. SportsTalkCleveland.com presents Tip Off Tonight, your first and only chance to talk Cleveland Cavaliers basketball before every single Cavs game. Join us as we recap, break down, prognosticate, and much, much more. Tune in for interviews from writers and broadcasters who cover the teams, live reports from the arena, pre- and post-game player sound, and so much more. Join us Monday through Friday evenings here on SportsTalkCleveland.com at 6 for Tip Off Tonight, hosted by me, TJ Zuppi, and Ryan Isley for all the latest on the Wine and Gold.
Is the IRS ruining your life? Are you afraid of losing everything? You can end the despair you feel right now. Get ready to write down an important phone number you're going to need to help solve your IRS nightmare. The number is 800-648-9937.
Hello, I'm John Harris, president of J.K. Harris & Company, the nation's largest tax representation firm. IRS problems have a way of ruining every aspect of your life if you let them. They don't go away on their own. The IRS can attach your wages, your pension, your savings, even your Social Security checks.
If you owe the IRS back taxes, call J.K. Harris at 800-648-9937. You may qualify to dramatically reduce your tax debt. Call 800-648-9937. That's 800-648-9937.
SportsTalkCleveland.com is now featured on iTunes. Visit the SportsTalkCleveland.com archives page and subscribe to your favorite show podcast.
Mentor Mitsubishi, Ohio's number one, is now all new. It's the grand opening of Mentor Mitsubishi's brand new state-of-the-art showroom. The new Mentor Mitsubishi experience is totally designed around you. Stop in today and get up to $3,000 for your trade, plus another $3,000 off a brand new 09 Mitsubishi Galant. And look at these leases on loaded 2010 Mitsubishi Lancers. Hurry in now for 0% on select models or no payment till 2010. Only at Ohio's number one, the all new Mentor Mitsubishi.
Hi, I'm Jamario Moon of the Cleveland Cavaliers, and you're listening to SportsTalkCleveland.com.
You're logged on to SportsTalkCleveland.com, the flagship of SportsTalkNetwork.com.
Sometimes I feel like I'm playing on the radio. Sometimes I feel like I'm on a traveling road show.
Sometimes I got the power. The John Oates solo album welcoming us back here tonight on the FDH Lounge. In deference to John Oates having been on with us here earlier in the show. Quite an interesting and eclectic lineup, as always, on the program here. We will conclude our previous segment here before we hit the next one for this half hour. We bring back our good friend Simon Applebaum from Tomorrow Will Be Televised. Simon, good to have you back on. And I'm sorry, you were saying in the middle of your sentence there?
Yes, I apologize that we had our line cut. Is NBC listening to our call on our show?
Yeah, I think
don't
they
know.
Are.
What I'm saying is that at this moment, we still don't have a deal with Conan and NBC. Conan is trying to, at least apparently my understanding is one of the sticklers in this deal, this exit strategy for Conan, is he wants to make sure that the people that came out along with him from New York to do this tonight show get well paid for their efforts, because they'll be out of a job basically come Friday night. So apparently there's a stickler in this, and it seems like NBC cannot even fix that or deal with that. So here we are, still no deal, and Conan is probably set to exit, make Friday his last show.
Unbelievable. And what happens between now and the Olympics? Just continuing. I can't imagine they're going to want to do reruns, because that's only going to promote Conan O'Brien. They're not going to want to do reruns of Leno, because that's going to be too dated probably here. And the Tonight Show, you know, they may add some new wrinkles to it. I'm imagining the Tonight Show won't be exactly like it was the last time with Leno. Is it just going to be guest stars running amok?
No, it'll be reruns. It'll be late night. It'll be probably a week or two of Best of Conan on the Tonight Show and late night. Then the Winter Olympics take over. Then March 1st, Leno comes in. As far as primetime goes, Leno will continue until mid-February, then the 2 weeks of the Winter Olympics. And by the way, it's not a given. Don't forget also that NBC has some very interesting things about the Winter Olympics to deal with. It looks like they will lose money on the Winter Olympics. And we don't know whether ratings, by the way, even though it'll be live Winter Olympics for the most part from Vancouver, will hold up. Don't forget, 4 years ago, when the Olympics, the Winter Olympics were in Turin, Italy, NBC did something or had something happen that had never happened before in Olympics coverage, which was some of the Olympic ratings lost to other shows like Dancing with the Stars, like CSI, like Survivor, even a rerun of High School Musical drew 4 million viewers up against Olympic coverage. So it's not a given that NBC will have success with the Olympics, and already Dick Ebersol, who was very vocal last Friday in an interview with the New York Times about Conan, basically saying that he was to blame for all this, has already come out on record saying that they will lose $200 million on the Olympics coverage this year.
Okay. You know, I'd just like to get your thoughts, too. Let's stipulate here. This will be my last question for you. Let's stipulate Conan does go to Fox in the fall, because it's kind of hard to measure ratings otherwise. It gets to be a little bit of apples and oranges if Conan's at FX because of distribution and everything like that. As things stand now and the way that Conan's been able to consolidate his base as perhaps never before under this, Conan, Letterman, Leno. If they all are indeed head-to-head here, how do you see it going? I got to think the damage that's happened to Leno's brand here and the likability factor is just going to prove to be pretty tough.
I think it will be tough for Leno, particularly going back to the Tonight Show, given how bad his primetime show was. I think he will get a little sampling at the beginning to see, like, okay, how are you readjusting to life back at 11:35? And with Conan, I think that at least the first week of his Fox show will draw to see, like, how does Conan react? Does he go back to being the late-night person? Does he try something different? Don't forget that this late-night scene is more crowded than ever. You have Lopez tonight on TBS, which starts at 11 o'clock and is doing quite well. And don't forget a thing called the Monique Show on BET. And now that Monique has won a Golden Globe for Precious as Best Supporting Actress and probably will get an Oscar nomination, maybe the favorite to win the Oscar, that show could become a major crossover hit similar to Arsenio Hall years ago in syndication. So this, it's a more crowded deal than ever. I think Letterman right now is going to lead it. And don't forget Nightline, which quietly has become a force in late-night television. A lot of people thought that after Ted Koppel left that ABC would have issues with keeping Nightline on a multi-anchor, multi-report format, but they have done with their team quite well, and on many nights they do beat Letterman, and they do become number one in the time period. So this late-night situation that Conan will re-enter at some point, and Leno will move to starting in March, it's not going to be your mother or father's late-night scene, not with all the new competition in store.
You're right. It's not going to be mano-a-mano-a-mano. There's definitely a different dynamic. And, again, as far as it goes with Monique, you will be entitled to all the crowing in the world if she blows up, because you've been touting her for a while. You are going to be the one guy really ahead of the curve if that does happen. Simon, take a minute here and, you know, pimp where to find your stuff here. Of course, we've got the link up tonight, and we've got the link on the Ultimate Links page always to your blog of Tomorrow Will Be Televised, which is on DonnieJackMyers.com site, but we've always got the direct link to it there. There is, of course, tomorrow will be televised weekly program that you've got that is available a couple of different ways, live through Blog Talk Radio, SunnyBite.com. Take it away, Simon. Let the people know where to find all of your content.
Well, we are on every Monday and most Fridays at 3 p.m. Eastern, 2 Central, and noon on the West Coast on BlogTalkRadio.com. We're also available on replay at blogtalkradio.com/SimonApple04 24/7, and we're on podcasts. We're on 14 different websites, and since our last conversation, people can now get us on any major mobile device, from Microsoft Zune to BlackBerry to Motorola Joy and all those Android phones, including, I'm sure, Nexus One from Google, and you can catch us anytime on 14 different websites through sonobite.com. They make all the arrangements. They're great to work with. And this Friday, we have a terrific episode coming up. If you're a fan of Damages, you will not want to miss it. We have the dynamic trio that puts that show together. It's about to go into its third year on FX. Todd Kessler, Glenn Kessler, and Daniel Zellman, the executive producing co-creators of Damages, will all be with us live. I got a feeling we will have a great turnout for that. And then the following Monday, we will have Stephen S. tonight. He is the executive producer and head writer of Spartacus, which premieres this Friday on Starz. It's gotten some very interesting controversial reviews, and we'll have him live for the first reaction to the premiere, which, by the way, Starz has already given a green light to a second season of that program. So we've got the Damages people coming up this Friday, Stephen S. tonight from Spartacus next Monday, and then the following Friday, we will spotlight HBO's first made-for-TV movie of the year called Temple Grandin, starring Claire Danes. We will talk to the executive producer of that film. The film deals with autism. It's a real-life story of a woman who overcame autism to become a major industry figure. And believe it or not, the executive producer who put that thing on HBO also deals with autism. I think you will find that a very special interview.
I think so. People are going to want to check that out again. If you want to know what's going on with technology, with television, you want to listen to the guy who's talking to everybody that matters, basically, in both of those industries, that would be Simon Applebaum. Simon, always a pleasure for us to have you on here. We look forward to doing it again soon, friend.
Absolutely, Rick. One more thing, I just want everyone to know quickly. Friday, Hope for Haiti Telethon is going to be on all the broadcast networks and a lot of the cable networks this Friday from 8 to 10 p.m. If you make contributions to different Haiti relief efforts, please, 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 if you don't know the charity, please check it out. Go to the charity's website, go to whitehouse.gov. Many local stations, many cable operators are offering lists of charities you can go to. Please don't be the victim of scam artists. This is not the time, given what the people of Haiti are going through, to have scammers divert your contribution from where it really needs to go. So however you make your contribution for Haiti relief efforts, and I already have mine to the American Red Cross earlier this week, please, please, please not only give generously, but give responsibly. Rick, it's a pleasure to have you, be here with you. Always the best.
Okay, thanks, Simon. Always a pleasure. Good to have you. Simon Applebaum, everybody, the one and only. We always love having him on the FDH Lounge.